This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Doreen Ampofu
and Priscilla Ozonza.
In the headlines, Ghana and UN signed bilateral agreements to collaborate in agriculture and international relations. Panelists in GBC's current affairs program Talking Point concerned about declining fortunes of fishing industry. Mob in Jojen Volta region cut off man's arm after stealing motorbike and stabbing owner. Syria calls for UN sanctions against Turkey for banning Kurdish forces in its territory. And in football, Ash Gold beat Emo Bejaya of Algeria 1-0 in CAF Champions League at Obuasi. Now the news in detail. Ghana and Iran have signed bilateral agreements in the areas of agriculture and international relations. President John Mahama and his Iranian counterpart Hassan Rouhani witnessed the signing of the document at an official ceremony in Tehran. President Mahama said the visit to Tehran is the beginning of strong bonds of mutual cooperation between the two countries. Pascal Iradivo has sent this report.
President Mahama was officially welcomed by the Iranian President Hassan Rouhani to the presidential palace. After inspecting the guard of honor, the two leaders went into a closed-door meeting. After witnessing the signing of two bilateral agreements, the two leaders addressed the news conference. President Rouhani said social, cultural, and scientific issues also formed the basis of their talks, aside from the bilateral relations. He said Iran looks forward to crop cultivation in Ghana, which has a promising agricultural sector. President Rouhani spoke through an interpreter.
Also talked about how we can cooperate with each other on international and regional issues, like how we can together fight against extremism and terrorism. We also discussed the problems that the people in Africa are suffering from because of terrorism and extremism, especially those living in north of Africa, including countries like Libya. We also talked about the problems caused by the terrorist groups and different terrorist groups active in Africa under different names and titles. We also talked and discussed about the problems faced by the people in Yemen and Syria.
President Mahama said there are many areas of cooperation to be explored, including oil and gas, cement production, manufacture of home appliances, and engineering products. He said Iran has comparative advantage in these fields and therefore is a worthy partner. President Mahama thanked Iran for offering scholarships to some Ghanaian students to study medicine and engineering in Iran. He also mentioned Iran's assistance to some poor farmers in Ghana as part of its agricultural rural program.
I wish to assure Mr. President that when we go back home, we're going to work effectively to realize the implementation of these agreements. We've discussed collaboration in oil and gas, in petrochemical and refining industry, in generation and distribution of power, in agriculture, in light industry and household appliance manufacturing, civil engineering, cement production, and so many other areas where we believe that Iran has a comparative advantage and we can work together in our mutual interest.
In 2014, during the visit of Iran's former president Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the two leaders signed agreements in oil and gas drilling and extraction of petroleum. The visit also saw the establishment of a permanent joint commission for cooperation. From the Iranian capital, Tehran, Pascalina Dadevo for Radio Ghana.
Meanwhile, President John Dramani Mahama, as part of his three-day state visit to Iran, has met with the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. The private meeting highlighted Iran's positive and favorable position with regard to enhanced cooperation with African countries since the onset of the 1979 Islamic Revolution. President Mahama highlighted Iran's rich civilization and pioneering role in scientific spheres, referring to the activities of terrorism in Africa and West Asia, and appreciating Iran's dedication to the fight against terrorism. President Mahama commented on what he described as the complicated situation in Syria. He stated that with Iran's foreign policy based on respect for nations' right to decide on their own fate, he is hopeful the issue of Syria will be settled.
The fishing industry is said to be on the decline. This has been attributed to the use of illegal methods by the fishers. In 2010, more than 500,000 tons of fish were produced. This was reduced to 200,000 last year. The National Coordinator for Fisheries Enforcement Unit of the Ministry of Fisheries and Aquaculture Development, Naval Captain Emmanuel Kwafu, disclosed this on GBC's Current Affairs Program Talking Point. He said the industry employs about 10% of the population.
The sector, if you look at the existing records, shows that all related to the fish landing, up to about 500 tons. I'm talking about the local fish, not the ones for export. But 500,000 tons after 2010, and it has been on the decline since then. Mm. And as of last year, it was virtually less than 200,000 tons.
Less than 200, as of last year.
Yes, I'm talking about the local, the canoes and the ones, the type that we consume. It is quite different from the tuna sector. The tuna sector is mainly for export. But the sector that we are concerned with now is our local sector, the canoes and the inshore vessels. It's seriously on decline because of this IU. There are too many legalities.
And it is affecting them
adversely. It's affecting them adversely. You know, the sector, you can see 10% of Ghana's population are employed. And
within that sector?
Yeah, within that sector. And we have over 300 landing sites, 300 places where you can land. And Ghana, in the west coast of Africa, we have a very vibrant, we have the most vibrant fishing industry. Our fishermen to the west can be found in Senegal and even beyond. Mauritania, I'm sure Morocco is very Ghanaian fishermen there. And if you go to the west, Togo, Benin, Nigeria, even DR Congo, you can get Ghanaian fishermen there. You know, our fishermen are so skillful. Formerly, the sector, you know, has been passing on to children and every fisherman bonds, gives birth to quite a number of children. They take out the kids, so we have too many people there, you know, and too much competition for the resource, which is limited in capacity.
The Vice President, National Fish Processors and Trading Association, Emmanuel Emilia Abakan, was worried about the dwindling fortunes of the fishing industry. She asked politicians not to politicize issues concerning the industry in order for it to grow.
When I was about 18 years, if I could remember, our mothers would even run away from the seashore because there are a lot of fish and they cannot process everything. Because they will go in the morning, in the evening, too, they will go. But now, it's not like that. They've changed because of the illegality. And the women, too, are the forefront of the fishing industry. They sponsor the fishermen. They pre-finance them. And then, after they've bought the fish, they process it, send it to the market to bring out the money for them and everything. But now, it's not like that. When you go to the store, there's no fish. You give them money for them to go to sea. When they come, there's no fish. They will buy fuel, no fish to bring home, so you will run out of
it. And the only explanation given you is that's because of the illegality.
It is because of
that's the only explanation
that's
given.
The illegality.
Not because there are too many people out there fishing. The competition is not the reason.
The effort too is part of it, but mainly is the illegality. Because we have seasonal fishing. We have every month, maybe 2 months, 3 months, we have type of net that you can use for this period of time, put it down, and then this month too, there's the net that you can use. So throughout the year, it is seasonal fishing. We have bumper harvest, we have the main one, we have the net start, the time that the net start comes out, we have the time that you feed the pelagics and other things. But now, it has been fishing throughout, 1 year throughout, and they are using different types of illegality methods to fish. They are all chasing just one thing, the small pelagic. They left the dinosaurs and other things and they are chasing the small pelagic because that is the fish that you can get a lot of money from it. So they are always chasing it. So they are using all means of illegality to chase them. So the fish is, now there's no fish in the sea.
The director of Yanin Pano, Kofi Agboga, cited illegal methods used in the industry. He said about 90% of the fishers are involved in illegal activity.
We look at the fishes at 65, which is 8, fishing close to estuaries. So there are so many activities that constitute illegality in fishing. Unfortunately for us, I can say without hesitation that over 90% of our fishermen are involved in one illegality. If it is not under 5 meters, they are fishing close to the estuary. If it is not, they are using the equipment. Are going to see without nets to go and catch, to go and buy fish out of the rock and
go to sea without
nets and bringing back fish, what we popularly call transshipment. All these are by law illegal. But because of pressure in the sector, overcapacity, that is too many people going out there to take the same fish. Now it is survival of the fittest. If there is no regulation, then everybody does what they like. And this is one aspect.
Those were views of panelists on GPC's current affairs program Talking Point.
The national organizer of the Palm Oil Development Association, Maxwell Comer, says the market survey conducted on palm oil by some postgraduate students of KNUSD, which includes that some traders sold the product with many peas, is an attempt to kill the industry. He said the Sudan for palm oil adulteration issue, though addressed, has affected the industry, which is yet to pick up. Mr. Kome, who spoke to Radio Ghana, said the students did a cheap work by not going to the source of production to speak with processors, but only chose a few selected markets for their work. Joyce Chacher reports.
Some postgraduate students of KNUST about 2 weeks ago came out with a report that some palm oil sold in 4 markets, including the Techiman and Kumasi Central markets, are soaked with millipedes. The reason for doing so, according to the survey, is to enhance the taste of the product. The national organizer of the Oil Palm Development Association, Maxwell Comey, says he doesn't see the sense behind people adding millipedes to palm oil. He said the students did a cheap work.
The reason is that there's no material in this document that can testify what they are saying. If you look at where they were talking about palm oil, you could see that somebody preparing palm oil is saying that we use millipedes plus rotten kernels plus a substance suspected to be Sudan flour, which means that palm oil. These people wanted to do a genuine and a good work, a reliable document. This was an information they gathered from the market. The next thing for them to do was to go down there to take their time, mix with them, as if they are doing an attachment. Learn how the palm oil is processed. You will be asking them a lot of questions as to the processing stages. Then somewhere along the line, you may probably identify that millipede is added to palm oil.
Mr. Comer, who is also the PRO of the association, said the insect thrives in moisty areas and when cold looks like a palm fruit. But that is not to say they are added to the product. He said the Sudan 4 issue affected the industry to the point that he has even laid off some of his workers.
Initially, the company was employing 110 workers, and then before the Christmas, we laid off 50, so we were left with 60. And then just after when we started production in January, we realized that there's no way we can make it. So last week, I had to lay off another so that we remain safe, so that at least the things begins to change. We can pick up and then start production.
He said the work by the students, if not debunked, will completely kill the oil palm industry.
Joyce Chacher reporting.
Three teacher unions are threatened to withdraw their services by the end of this month if outstanding allowances due them are not paid. In a letter addressed to the National Labour Commission, the three unions, MAPS, NACRAT, and Coalition of Concerned Teachers, accused the commission of flouting deadlines agreed on for the payment of the allowances. Head of Compensation at NAT, Ahima Kwakwashi, told Radio Ghana that all areas paid under the single spine policy are factually inaccurate.
Our main concern has been the inability of the government to pay our teachers who have been recruited since 2013. Remember, somewhere in November 2013, the government came out with a policy not to pay more than 3 months salary arrears, and that has lingered on up to now. And it's a big problem for us. And any time the Honorable Finance Minister has the opportunity to speak to the press, he creates the impression that teachers do not have any rest to claim, and that he sees that under the single spine pay policy, all arrears have been paid. And that is factually inaccurate. And that is which has incensed the teacher unions, and we are asking government to pay us by the end of the month. If they fail to do that, they have already signaled the Labour Commissioner that we may be compelled to lay down our tools.
So, the roadmap that was drawn between the labor unions and you and the government, what was the highlight of this the payment schedule?
As for the roadmap, it has even expired. And the last time that we met them, what they said was that government has asked the audit service to do some kind of verification. They finished that exercise, and then later on they said they were going to the full. That verification exercise have gone all over the period. And let me just give you one example. You know, when teachers complete the colleges of education and they come, previously they were even on allowance, okay? So for them, they are already on the payroll. Now, when their results come and they are successful, then they need to be upgraded from that allowance to a salary. So normally, because they have their own, their inability to pay the people at the right time, it creates some sort of gap, and that makes room for the payment of the salary arrears. So for especially the teachers who were recruited in 2014 and 2013 from the colleges of education, government has no excuse in saying that they are going to pay only 3 months of their salary arrears. And that has created a big problem for the teacher union. So we are saying that if they fail to address these issues by the close of the month, then possibly we will have to ourselves.
You know, advising yourself, have you heard from the labor union or the National Labor Commission after you know, notifying them?
That is why I'm saying that we have notified them, so we are expecting that from now up to the end of the month, they should be able to resolve the issue. If they are not, then that one, nobody calls them.
Not head of compensation at NAT, Ahina Kwakwashi.
The Chancellor of the University of Cape Coast, Dr. Sam Jonah, has called our graduates to be bold to shun corruption to save the country from destruction. He said they would fail the nation as elites if they do not take bold initiatives to eliminate that canker from society. Dr. Jonah was speaking at the 48th congregation of the School of Graduate Studies of the University. He urged them to be led by the truth, hard work, selflessness, and dedication as they prepare to join the country's workforce. This year, 1,915 graduates received higher degrees in disciplines including 31 PhDs, 236 Master of Philosophy / Master of Commerce, and 1,378 Master's degrees, as well as 260 postgraduate diplomas and certificates. Dr. Jonah asked the graduates to make the spirit of entrepreneurship a viable option, since unemployment has become inevitable in the social fabric. The Vice Chancellor of UCC, Professor Domini Kupale, said 11 new graduate programs were introduced last year. They include Master of Philosophy / PhD in Drug Discovery and Toxicology, African Studies, International Relations, Home Economics, Infection and Immunity. He said UCC has significantly transformed its curricula and the mode of delivery over the past years and would continue to chart innovative paths to respond to national needs through effective teaching, research and community engagement. Awards were given to graduates who exhibited outstanding research work from each of the colleges of the university.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Ghana and Iran signed bilateral agreements to collaborate in agriculture and international relations. Panelists on GBC's current affairs program Talking Point concerned about declining fortunes of fishing industry. Mob in Georgian Volta region cut off man's arm after stealing motorbike and stabbing owner. Syria calls for UN sanctions against Turkey for bombing Kurdish forces in its territory. And in football, Ashgold beat Emo Bejaia of Algeria 1-0 in CAF Champions League at Obuasi. We'll be back after this break.
If my life goes so high, I'm considering power outage.
You see, indirectly or directly, you contribute to the power outages in the country by your actions and inactions.
This thing, I don't get it.
Use the air conditioner sparingly and also switch it off when leaving the room for more than 10 minutes. The electric cooker is the highest electrical energy consumer in the home with a power rating of about 8,500 watts. Avoid using electric cooker. The gas cooker is a cheaper alternative. It is more efficient to iron garments and bed. Remember to turn off the iron when you are finished ironing and remove the plug from the socket. To reduce electricity consumption, keep the refrigerator away from direct sunlight. Clean the coils at the back of the refrigerator as soon as possible. This build-up makes the refrigerator waste energy. Decide what you want from the refrigerator or freezer before you open it. Do not put hot food in the refrigerator or freezer.
Okay, that has to reduce consumption, to reduce the pressure on the national grid and my bill.
This message is brought to you by Gridco in partnership with Energy Foundation.
Welcome back. Angry residents of Jeje in the Kitu North district of the Volta region chopped off the left arm of a man who stole a motorbike and stabbed its owner in the rib before attempting to flee. Vincent Bologna, 38, who is described by the police as a notorious criminal, is receiving treatment at the St. Anthony's Hospital in Jeje. Assistant Superintendent of Police in charge of the area, Achuziga, who confirmed the story, said the incident took place on Friday at about 2 a.m. According to him, the owner of the bike spotted Bologna pushing it away from his house. He confronted him and demanded to know where Bologna was taking the bike to. Bologna then drew a knife and stabbed the owner in the ribs. ASP Zika said the injured man's loud cries for help attracted people to the scene, and after seeing what Bologna had done to the man, noted out instant justice and severed his left arm.
The president and founder of Prayer Chain Ghana, NGO Catherine Fersen, has implored both the youth and aged to avoid being used by politicians for negative activities during the November elections. Madame Fersen, who was speaking on the sidelines of the ceremony to fet the aged in Accra, said this will ensure peace before, during and after the elections. Lordine Badu and Jennifer Potufe have filed this report. Prayer Chain Ghana was established in 2010 to pray for the nation's welfare and reach out to the vulnerable in the society. Over the years, the organization has visited the Accra Psychiatric Hospital to fet the patients as well as inmates of the female section of the Nsawam prisons every 14th of February. Breast screenings have also been held for the women at the Marlon Market in Accra. Madame Fersen urged the youth and the aged not to accept any form of inducement to vote during the general elections. She appealed to them to avoid violence to help maintain peace before, during and after elections.
We have only one family. We cannot all belong to one party. And so, whatever your political affiliations, we are one people wanting to find a way forward. And so, register your thoughts or your diverging opinion without anger, because we have only one Ghana. If anything should happen to our Ghana, where we go, we are surrounded by Francophones. We don't speak French. Apart from jumping in the sea, there's nothing we can do. And so I'd love to tell everybody that let's do the best that we can. We all love Ghana. We may have different opinions as to how the way forward should be, but we are all one. But the youth, I'll say that, and don't allow anybody to, you know, incite you and tell you to go and fight, because if you fight, you don't have any other country apart from Ghana. And to the aged, they should keep, you know, advising the youth. And all of us together, we are just different people in this beautiful country called Ghana. A tapestry of beautiful people.
Madame Catherine Fersen urged Ghana to appreciate the aged, since they are an important component of society with a wealth of knowledge and experience to share. Lordina Badu and Jennifer Kotufe filed that report.
The U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, Madam Linda Thomas-Greenfield, says free and fair elections are important in affirming democracy in Africa and improving the living conditions of the people. He said 2016 is a crucial year for the continent because more than 15 countries will hold presidential elections this year. Madam Thomas-Greenfield said the U.S. is ever committed to champion the cause of the continent by helping to tackle its challenges. Journalists from U.S. embassies and consulates in Djibouti, Kinshasa, Lagos, Lomé, Luanda, and Monrovia joined their counterparts in Accra for the session through the virtual conference. She noted that the Obama administration intends to leave a lasting legacy with huge prospects to transform the continent's fortunes.
On the foreign front, Syria has called on the UN to take action against Turkey for carrying out the second day of shelling on Kurdish forces in northern Syria. Syria condemned the action and described it as a violation of her sovereignty. In a letter to the UN Security Council, Syria accused Turkey of allowing about 100 gunmen believed to be either Turkish soldiers or mercenaries to cross into Syria. It also accused Turkey of violating its sovereignty by backing Al-Qaeda-linked terrorists in the north, adding that the action constitutes direct support to armed terrorist organizations. Turkey views the Kurdish militia in Syria as allied to the outlaw PKK, which has carried out a decade-long campaign of autonomy in Turkey.
Voters in the Central African Republic have cast their ballot in the legislative election and a presidential runoff, which they hope will bring peace after the country's worst sectarian violence since independence in 1960. The final results are not expected for several weeks. The seizure of power by a newly Muslim rebel group in 2013 led to prolonged bloodshed. The two men in the close presidential race are both former prime ministers who have campaigned to restore security and boost the economy in the mineral-rich country.
And in football, second half to Johnny Joshua goal was enough to give Ash Gold victory over M.O. Bejaia in the first leg of preliminary matches of the CAF Champions League at Abrasi. Ash Gold showed the intentions early in the game when they attacked their visitors on a number of occasions. The resolute defense of Bejaia stood tall to thwart the efforts. The visitors also made some incursions into the Ash Gold area, but it was not to be. Left back to Johnny Joshua broke the deadlock in the 60th minute. M.O. Bejaia were induced to reduce when their player was sent off for second. The visitors also employed counter-attacking antics, but the hosts stopped them.
Now to end the main points again. Ghana and Iran have signed bilateral agreements to collaborate in agriculture and international relations. Panelists and GBC's current affairs program Talking Points have raised concern about the declining fortunes of the fishing industry and a mobbing judge in the Volta region have cut off the arm of a man for stealing a motorbike and stabbing the owner. The news was presented by Doreen Ampofu
and Priscilla Uswansa in a craft.